Hey there, I'm Melissa Batt, the host of Priorities on Purpose, a podcast for overwhelmed women who are tired of going through the motions. You know there has to be more to this life than the cycle of numbing out, scrolling social media, exhausting yourself with a never-ending to-do list, and still feeling like a failure at the end of the day. You have hope that tomorrow will be different, and I'm here to help you make sure that it actually is. I'm a Christian life coach, and on this podcast, we talk all about intentional living, mental health struggles, and tangible ways to be the best versions of ourselves with Jesus at the center. I promise to be your hype girl and biggest cheerleader as I share simple strategies to help you get out of your rut, eliminate distractions, and live the life you are created for. Are you ready to go beyond existing and learn how to truly live? Put your earbuds in and let's get to it, friend. Hey, friends, welcome to another episode of Priorities on Purpose. I'm your host, Melissa Batt, a Christian life coach, here to help you get your priorities in check, live your life with intention, and help you grow your faith and relationship with Jesus. Today, we have a great episode for you, if I may say so myself, because this is something I've personally struggled a lot with. And I know that it's something that a lot of people struggle with. So we're going to go there. We're going to talk about it because that's what we do. We talk about things nobody else wants to talk about. Today, the topic is numbing out. You know what numbing out is, right? Do you understand what that is? I came up with a little quick definition for you in case you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Melissa. No worries. We're going to get into it. I'm going to give you examples of numbing out because I think some of us do it and we don't even realize we're doing it. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. And this is why I'm so passionate about helping you live on purpose with intention. Because some of us are doing these things without even realizing it, and it is hindering the work that God wants to do in you and through you, okay? So numbing out basically means that we are disconnecting from our feelings or the experience where we are, right? So it really derails us from where God wants us. However, sometimes numbing out is necessary. It's a coping mechanism. It's something that we do when it's kind of like that fight or flight moment where it's, oh my gosh, like I just have to figure out and survive. So God gives us this ability to separate ourselves from the situation. It can be used to help us. However, the enemy will use anything that God has given us and it will harm us if we're not careful. And so this is an area where something that I believe God has given us to protect us when we need to be in survival mode, like that moment when we're being chased by the bear or whatever, and the adrenaline just kicks in, or we have to disengage and can't acknowledge our feelings because we have a house full of kids that we have to take care of. There are moments when we can't go there and really feel our feelings in the moment. And so we numb out. We do something to kind of help us get by. We go into survival mode. And survival mode is sometimes necessary for a season. And I'm not quite sure, okay, for the record. Again, I'm no Bible scholar, so I'm not saying this is biblical, but I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure God knows you. I know God knows you. And while I can't quote a scripture off the top of my head that perfectly aligns with what I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure it's there. And that is this idea that sometimes survival mode is necessary when there's a death of a loved one, or kind of like when everyone in the house is sick and you're sick, but you can't be sick, you kind of just have to get by. That's survival mode. In survival mode, like it's not meant to be this place where we spend a lot of time there. It's necessary for a season. The problem is some of us get there and forget what it's like to truly live. And so that's why I want to talk about this, because again, it begins to hinder us from the work that God wants to do in us and through us. So when there's too much stress or there's a traumatic event, hello, the pandemic that we just all went through. If you had no other stress in your life, no childhood trauma that you were needing to overcome and work through or anything like that, just the pandemic alone is definitely enough, whether it was a really bad experience for you or you're the type of person who was like, well, other people had it way worse than me. It doesn't matter. It was still traumatic. And so in situations like that, we tend to rely on these coping mechanisms to get by. And I just want to talk about it because some of us are still using these things to get by and we forget and then they become habits. And they're not habits that are healthy for us. They're actually very unhealthy habits. And so that's why I think it's really important that we take time and talk about it. So what are some of the ways that we cope and numb out and disassociate from our feelings and the experiences that we're going through? I wrote down some here, most that I personally have had to deal with. These are things that God has called out in my own life at one time or another. There's a couple on the list that when I get to them, I'll kind of share more about how it's not really something I struggle with or did struggle with, but it's only because at that point I knew better. And so I didn't. The top ones on my list that I personally have struggled with was scrolling on social, spending way too much time on my computer or on my phone because I was numbing out. Like I just wanted to almost live vicariously through someone else. And it was used as an escape, watching Netflix for hours at a time. I know I've talked about how God called me to give up my love of The Real Housewives, Beverly Hills and Orange County. I would watch for hours and hours, especially reality TV. It wasn't just The Real Housewives. You name it. Below Deck, The Bachelor, a whole bunch of shows that is so raunchy. It should have hurt my heart to even watch it. Instead, it completely sucked me in. And I was like, well, at least my life isn't that bad, right? So Netflix, hours at a time, shopping, working all the time, eating. This is something that God has really shown me over the last 2 years where eating is a way that I numb out. I'm an emotional eater and I didn't realize that until probably, I don't know, the last 2 or 3 years, I would say. Working all the time. Alcohol. This is one that I have had clear boundaries on for quite some time. I know that alcoholism runs in my family. And I also know that I'm a Christian who loves Jesus and also serve in ministry. And so a lot of the churches I went to, which funny story, did you know that I, for a really long time, I was probably in my 30s before I realized that there are some Christians that actually don't see a problem with drinking alcohol. I had no idea. The church I went to, it just seemed like very frowned upon. That was not okay. And so I thought every church was like that. I thought every Christian was like that. Boy, was I surprised when I started going to this one church and the home group leaders completely, like, it's a 4th of July party. Everybody was drunk but us. And I'm like, I had no idea that that would even happen. Not saying that it should have happened, but it is what it is. That was a long time ago. Anyways, alcohol is definitely one, and drugs. God had to convict me over my use of Benadryl. So yes, pharmaceutical drugs that are not in my name or prescribed by my doctor. Yeah, those can be numbing agents as well, but also those that are over the counter. For me, it was Benadryl. I would take Benadryl. It started very innocently. I started in 2019 getting a lot of facial swelling. If you followed me on Instagram or Facebook for a while, you may remember seeing some pictures. Like my whole face would blow up, lips would be gigantic. And come to find out, that was a stress response. Stress caused it. And the only thing that would make it go away was laying down in a dark room and going to sleep, like basically sleeping it off. If I didn't get enough sleep, it would happen. Stress stuff obviously made it do it. But it could be as simple as overworking, which I think I mentioned a second ago. I stayed up too late working because I was so excited to get something done. Next thing you know, like my face is swollen. So that's how the Benadryl thing started for me. I took it because it was the thing that I did because I thought it was an allergic reaction at first. And then it started being like, I'm really struggling and I just want to knock myself out and go to bed. And so I would take Benadryl and knock myself out. And God had to convict me of that and show me that that wasn't necessarily the best thing for me to do. So I stopped doing that. I don't do that anymore. Another one that's on the list is sex. For some, it may be porn. I know, especially for men, although it probably is for women as well. Porn can be, I know a lot of men who would go to porn when they were super stressed out. I've heard several stories of that. And so I know that can be something that can become like mind numbing or just to kind of escape from real life. Sleep is another one. And again, another one that I personally struggled with was I just want to sleep. I still to this day, I think I talked about it in a previous episode where I talked about my life lessons. I wanted just to be like, wake me up when it's over. Even as a child, when I would be getting grounded or I knew I was going to be getting in trouble, I would go home and I would go straight to bed. Like I couldn't wrap my mind around dealing with the tension and the stress of what was coming. I'm going to bed, wake me up when mom gets home, then I can get grounded and deal with it. I just had to go to bed because I was so stressed out. And so again, these are just a few off the top of my head. The one thing I wanted to mention was this idea of all the time, which also one off the top of my head, I did not write this one down, but volunteering was a way I numbed out. Reading books was a way that I numbed out. I was really struggling during my pregnancy with my third child, and I would read books all day long, just read a book. Again, it was that form of escape for me. And my mom had actually called it and said, I think you might be depressed. You might need to go to the doctor. I was like, not depressed. At that time, I thought depressed meant like I was sitting in a corner crying. I had no clue what depression really was. Little did I know God would then show me what depression really was. And I would be there. I would struggle with depression at an even deeper level than I was when I was just reading books. Again, back to this all the time. Just because your idea of all the time, if you work long hours and you have very little free time, but in every free moment, you're doing something like scrolling on social or shopping. I hate to say eating because that one is a little bit different. That's a hard one because we got to eat. We got to sleep. But if you just take a moment to ask God, is this something I am using to numb out or to cope with my feelings or negative experiences? He's going to answer you. He's going to show you these areas where maybe there is a problem. And again, if you're only doing it for a short period of time, sometimes that is absolutely necessary. But if it's something that is lasting longer than a couple weeks, I think that's when you have to look at it and be like, okay, this is a problem. And I need to figure out, like, where is the problem? Like, why am I wanting to numb out? What are the feelings that I'm running from? Why am I not willing to face them? And what can I do then to start leaning towards facing those feelings, right? So one of the things that I think we have to be careful of is that if we're not careful, we're not intentional, these things that were meant to just be a short-term coping mechanism turns into these bad habits. And when you are scrolling on social media or you're constantly watching Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or whatever, when you are drinking too much, sleeping too much, working all the time, the problem is you're missing out on the life that is right in front of you. How many times have you been scrolling on social media and someone is trying to have a conversation with you or could have had a conversation with you? When I was overworking because I didn't know this was an issue I needed to deal with at the time, but I was grieving a lot of things and working was how I did it. When I was overworking, I missed the signs of a child who was struggling with depression and anxiety. It wasn't until I put my work down intentionally and said, okay, like I could look up and I could see what was right in front of me. We can't be present in the moment with those that are in the room or even with ourselves when we are constantly trying to find something to numb out with. I think of, I have had four babies, four epidurals, okay? So when you have an epidural, you're completely numb. Now, not to get too off topic, but with Emmalyn, they had to pretty much put the epidural. So I felt everything during that pregnancy. But the other three, I felt absolutely nothing. So the epidural numbs everything. Now, if I was to have a broken ankle, but I couldn't feel that broken ankle, and that epidural was to continue on longer than just to deliver my baby, I would be causing a whole lot more harm, right? If I was trying to walk on this ankle, can you imagine having a broken ankle, but it's numb? So I continue to walk on it and walk on it and walk on it. I don't even recognize that it's making it worse. And it's self-sabotage, really, right? But just because I don't feel it doesn't mean the pain isn't there. Eventually, we have to take a moment to acknowledge, okay, there's an issue and I need to deal with it. And it's not going to be comfortable. But the good news is you don't have to do it alone. You probably have people in your life who would love to support you as you go through some of those issues and you face those feelings or face the horror or whatever it is that you've been avoiding. You need to ask yourself, like, what is it that I'm running from? What is it that I'm not willing to face? And maybe you don't know. If you don't know, but you recognize that you are doing these things, the best thing you can do is create space to put it down. Ask God, pray, and say, Dear Lord, thank you, Jesus, for giving me this opportunity to recognize an area where I may not be fully present. Help me be fully present. Give me the courage to look in areas of my life where it may be hard and be willing to face them. Give me the courage, Lord. And then ask people to hold you accountable. If you don't have a coach is a great place to get someone who will call you out and hold you to that. Like, how are you doing in this area? Because it's not something that you should do alone. You need people. God gave us people for a reason. Adam and Eve could have been the only two people ever created, but they weren't. Because we need each other. And so recognizing that and depending on God for the areas of brokenness that may show up. And again, they may not. Another one that just came to my mind is exercising. Exercising can be a good thing. Like all of these things, you think about it, like there's nothing wrong with watching Netflix. There is nothing wrong with scrolling on your phone. There's nothing wrong with being a hard worker. There's nothing wrong with getting a good night's sleep. These are good things. But when you're doing it to keep yourself from facing something that was hard in your life, you're robbing yourself of the healing. God wants to heal you, friend. And the sooner you can face it, the sooner you can be on the other side of it. Funny story. I always wanted to do track, but I was terrified of the hurdles. Like the idea of doing a hurdle really scared me because it just seems so big. If you're running hurdles and you just continue to avoid it, you're never going to get across it. You have to at some point be brave enough to jump over that hurdle, to come up to the hurdle and not run the opposite direction. Probably not the best analogy, but it's what I got at the moment. So I want to challenge you to stop running from it, face it. And God's word says that everything the enemy meant to harm you, God will use for good. And for him to use it for good means that you have to face it, friend. You have to face it. You have to be willing to go there and let God heal you. He's a loving God and he wants the best for you. And that means that you have to acknowledge that you're carrying all this stuff that you shouldn't even be carrying because God wants to take it from you. But before he can take it from you, he needs you to surrender it. So you have to open your hands, stop being tight-fisted, and recognize what you're carrying and hand it over to God. And when you hand it over to God, that's the opportunity for healing. That's where the healing comes from. That's when God can use it. And before you know it, he makes purpose out of these things that the enemy meant to harm you. One thing that I always say is if I'm going to go through something, I don't want it to just be something that God uses for me. I want it to be something that God can use for other people. If I have to go through something hard, let it be used to help the masses, not just me, because then it makes it a little bit easier to know that I had to go through something hard. And so I want to challenge you to get out of your comfort zone. I know scrolling on social can kind of seem comfortable. It's not helping you. It is absolutely hindering you. My favorite, when I was in the funk, in the pit, at my darkest moment, I would lay in bed, scroll on my phone, and watch reality TV. And I would joke and feel like I was living my best life. But the truth is, I wasn't living at all. My kids were growing up in the other room, and I wasn't being used as efficiently or some days at all because I was just completely checked out. I would tell people then that was very comfortable. I mean, a lot of times we think that when we're struggling with depression and we're in the pit, that it's a very uncomfortable place to be. Truth is, for me, it was very comfortable. I was in my bed. I love my bed. To this day, if I am having a hard day, I just want a nap and I want to lay in my bed. So as we come to the end of this episode, I really just want to challenge you to be more intentional. And this is why being intentional is so important. Ask yourself, are there areas where I'm numbing out? And if so, why? Pray about it. Ask God to help you and reach out to someone, friend. You don't have to do this alone. God didn't create you to do this alone. You need people alongside of you, especially when you start feeling those feelings. One of the things that I know we'll talk about in a future episode is feelings aren't always facts, but they tell a story. You have to recognize them to know then what to do with them. And when we are avoiding all the time, we're just missing this opportunity where God can use these feelings, use our struggles to make us better and help us help others, right? And so we're going to be talking more about this in future episodes. Until next time, friends. Hey, friend, that's it for this episode. If you found value, I would love it if you could take a couple of seconds and leave me a quick review. While it may seem super simple, it is so beneficial and gives me the opportunity to help more women. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media with your biggest aha today. Don't forget to tag me at Melissa Batt Official so we can connect. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, friend, keep walking it out one baby step at a time, because God's got you.